Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week in League, Kane Evans mistakes Will Chambers' face for Dylan Napper's asshole and instinctively starts shadowboxing.
Tragic new information on the long-term effects of pingers as Joey Johns recommends Kalyn Ponga for the Knights' captaincy.
Orange is the new black as Horsberg is slave traded to the Dogs.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for Round 22 of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more this week in League. Welcome to episode 424 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I am Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Fantastic. Thanks for asking, Nathan.
Yeah, I mean, how could you have foreseen me asking that question? Because I ask it at the start of every single episode, which happens two times every week.
Well, last time you fucking were a sour cunt about how I responded to your question. So today, I wanted to make sure that I was a little more chipper.
Good, good. Bit of expression in there, a bit of excitement. Get the fucking listeners excited. Rugby league, mate.
How good.
I challenge fucking anyone to be excited sitting here looking at your fucking face.
I'll tell you, the most I am more excited speaking about rugby league after watching an episode of fucking Tiger Town than you have ever been in your fucking life supporting your club, including the immediate aftermath of the 2005 grand final.
Incorrect.
In fact, I have petitioned Fox to rename the series for when they sell it overseas.
Because it fell to the highest bidder.
As Tigagra.
Exactly.
It is medically proven to keep people erect.
Oh,
for hours on end.
Literally hours, Glennie. You really should do yourself a favour and watch it.
I definitely will watch it.
I'm stunned by stunned and surprised by the prevailing attitude of West Tigers fans. If there was a show based solely around my club, you'd
probably fucking just jump straight into it and watch your team behind the scenes, the aftermath of regular victories, wouldn't you? That's what you do.
Anything just to get an insight into, you know, what the players are like more, what the coaching staff are like, just the personalities behind the thing.
I watched The Last Dance. He went through the highs and the lows. That's what I want in a documentary series. I want highs and lows.
Why the fuck are you watching Tales from Tiger Town?
Because
how many highs you got?
Because I want high.
Because there is no better drug. because there is no better high than Tigers in Decline.
And this, my friends, is my point.
Especially episode two. Just reminded, if you haven't watched it, watch it. It covers the Tommy tribute years of the West Tigers that took place earlier this year. It covers all of the games where they were paying tribute to Tommy, and I believe they lost the fucking lot of them.
Yes, they did.
Oh, did that Dragons one have any Tommy tributeness to it?
No.
You had the that was that the Campbelltown one?
Because that was the joke. Like
for weeks
we had fodder for the opening lines for the show. Like,
yeah, I think we said something about Tommy for like four weeks in a row.
Like Tommy's immune system put up more of a fight against stage four cancer than the Tigers did against their opponents.
Yeah, yep. There's been some calls for Tiger Town.
David Nofaluma honors Tommy Radonikis by defending like Tommy's immune system.
Yeah, and the thing is, like there were weeks there where we probably had three lines about the exact same thing, three different and excellent lines about the same thing. And we're just like, well, no, we probably should, you know, mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. You say we, like I was a willing participant.
Oh, you're a contributor.
I'm, I would imagine that if
I was
if
a listener,
if listeners went back, you know, 20, if listeners went back 20 episodes or so, whenever that period coincides with, I am certain that they'll hear your voice on those episodes, Glenny. You contribute just like anyone else.
I'm still a person.
That's great. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong, and there's nothing wrong with that, mate. Now, news this week. Look, I did struggle to find a ton of great news articles. However, I will say, with some contract things coming up, did you hear, fellas, did you hear the one about Clint Gutherson, who is set to leave the Eels if his payment demands aren't met? And when we're talking about payment demands, we're talking about better be close to seven figures level payment demands. They've got $4 million worth of talent coming off contract at the end of the next season, including Gutherson. Most of those players looking for a pay rise, as we spoke about on Sunday or Monday night. So they're not going to be able to hold them all, but Gutherson took less money than he wanted last time, 2 years ago, than his current deal. And so if reports from Brent Reed from The Australian are to be believed, he will not be taking unders next time. So, yeah, he's going to squeeze him for every cent he can get. And in their view, 750 grand is conservative about what they think he's worth. This, mind you, is a player who has taken them to some dominant regular seasons up to about August and little else.
He has come out this afternoon and said that he hasn't even spoken to his manager about a new deal, let alone ask for $1 million payday.
So what is that? So that's another story again then. So where's that come from? Is that the club trying to sort of get ahead? Because remember last time the club...
Look, I cannot... There's not a number low enough to measure my level of interest in Clint Gutherson or anything to do with him. But it's on NRL.com. And I haven't watched the
fullback.
Sorry?
Tigers need a fullback.
We do not need a fullback. Of all the fucking things that we need, a fullback
and
is five, not
eight,
one of
and
them.
A halfback.
Who's playing fullback for you this week, Glenn?
Look, you're very good at asking these very closed questions, loaded questions even. We have a fullback for our long-term future. He's currently He's currently recovering from injury. And we currently
could
have
not
a
relate to having an injured fullback.
No, yeah. I understand, mate.
In the year of our Lord 2021.
You know, the other interesting thing about your fullback is you only had him on a 1 year deal.
Yeah, but you know,
and with all of this, you know, contract news, there's some silence. Some silence from the Tigers about re-signing their fullback.
The professional clubs will, you know, they get that done in the off season, and I'm look forward to an announcement that they've completely fucked up those contract talks and Dane Laurie will. Going back to the Panthers, or
honestly, Dane Laurie going over Dane Laurie going to the Tigers, though. You look at he would look at that. He would look at going to the Tigers and going, "Wow, I got what a great opportunity to play regular first grade," which he has, you know, which has been proven to be true. But then sitting in Tiger Town,
he would have expected to be playing with first graders, though. To be fair,
yeah, but sitting in Tiger Town, looking back over towards the Blue Mountains,
he'd be like,
"Well, Dylan Edwards isn't great.
No.
Crichton's not a very good substitute for him. And Charlie Staines even less so. So perhaps I could Harry Grant this shit and boomerang myself back to where it all started.
Nothing
and,
would
get more money and cement a first grade position based on my resume that I've accumulated in my games at the back for West Tigers.
So, yes, that is just exactly what will happen. You are an oracle, Nathan.
I've always said it. No.
Thanks, Phil.
No, I've always said you're a cunt, not oracle. I always get those mixed up.
Yes.
Dane Laurie, 5-year deal at the Tigers. Heard it here first.
Right. Also this week, Will Chambers has been dropped He doesn't have a contract for next season, and he's been dropped after his last two performances, which were basically just a mouth on top of two legs. Legs that didn't particularly run too fast, and they didn't have the arms to make the tackles either.
$2 mouth, 10 cent head.
that's being fucking generous. I mean, yeah, maybe 10 cents in Zimbabwe currency.
New Zealand dollars.
Now, he had the running battle with Dylan Walker that we saw, and last week he had the Kane Evans and everyone else in the Warriors side with what has been described as a personal attack, resulting in Kane Evans spending two stints in the sin bin. He was so head-fucked by it all. And so Josh Hannay, apparently, despite the abuse actually having the desired effect on Kane Evans and, you know, giving his side 20 minutes of a fucking man advantage, Hannay's not a fan, and he's omitted him from the side for Sunday's clash with Newcastle. So what do we think about the about dropping? I mean, at the end of the day, his performances haven't backed up. Yeah,
we've spoken about
the
game as and the, under the current rules and the way the game has evolved this season. Having passed some players by, Jared Croker is a glaring example. Mm-hmm. There's a few others. Aaron Woods, soon to probably sign a 2-year deal with the Tigers.
The game passed Aaron Woods by in like 2014.
Correct.
Can I just point out that you're probably going to sign Aaron Woods, and that's why you'll lose Dane Laurie? You just won't have enough money.
Whilst I appreciate you looking out for me and pointing that out, it's unnecessary. If you think I'm not across that. Just because I don't talk about things doesn't mean I'm not across them, okay? Ignorance is bliss. But Will Chambers is not an effective centre in the game as it stands right at this very point in time.
Okay.
I don't think
he's effective. I don't know that too many clubs will be looking to sign him. I don't think he's quick enough. He certainly doesn't use his winger effectively. Adequate defender, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Disagree? Yeah, agree?
Man, I think that's pretty much spot on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Points to him for trying to find some sort of competitive advantage because he can't match it physically.
Look at his history. He's used to being in that Storm outfit. Mm-hmm. And when you're part of a team that is as dominant as the Storm is, you'd be forgiven for thinking that your sledging has something to do with that victory. You know, you get in there and you throw in all these witty barbs out. And then all of a sudden you have dominant performances against opponents that look completely head-fucked. And in fact, it's actually just the fact that your team was much better than theirs.
Mm.
And they're absolutely rooted as to why they performed like they did. Fair. And now he's trying to do the same thing in a team.
In a poor team.
Yeah, that's it. So.
And it's a real indictment of the Sharks that, I mean, that his sledging can be so highly successful to the point where he buys them 20 minutes of man advantage in a game and they still can't fucking win it.
Yeah, that's it.
And to Warriors, it's not like they're playing the Storm or, you know, a side like that.
Although, does it seem to you guys like NRL players have, like, the world's fucking shortest hair triggers?
Well, some of them, yeah, for
like
sure.
It's come out what he's allegedly said, and he's, you know, made fun of Matt Lodge about prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I mean, Matt Lodge must never log on to social media if that one's a fucking surprise for him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
but, I mean, look, people with hair triggers. I mean, did Matt Lodge ever strike you for knowing what you know? And, like, I'm talking about going back to when he was in a Tigers jersey having fights on field. Like, is there anything in his career that has led you to believe that he has a fucking fuse longer than a fucking bee's dick?
I've had fucking death threats about things I've said about people's rugby league teams, right?
That's a hair trigger.
And, well, no, yeah, it's, I don't know.
Have you legit had death threats?
The fucking heaps of them.
Really?
Who's threatened you with death?
Oh, well,
Alan Glenn.
It was in the first couple of years. First couple of years, okay, after Glenn left.
They were lashing out.
No, I don't think it was like Glenn fanboys, but it was more so just, you know, how fucking dare you, you know, say this and this. You wouldn't fucking know it. I'll fucking shove your opinion down your throat. And
Yeah. You got to read the comments to see the death threats. That's the only advice.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Look, sometimes it comes full circle and you have fucking people talk a lot of shit when you first come back onto the show and then turn around and try to suck your dick. But, you know, whatever. No death threats, though.
Yeah. Now, are there any other things that happened this week that you want to talk about? Because it's a real, you know, contracty sort of.
Yeah,
nothing
is.
Weak in terms of, and like we did, you know, we discovered that when we were talking about the you know, the lines at the start of the show and stuff as well. You know, like, wasn't an amazing buffet of things to select from. So I'm happy to move on if you guys are.
Look, the only thing that, again, I'll mention it briefly, the good old fucking rugby league media has done that shit they do where, you know, they cause something.
Yeah.
And then they talk about how terrible it is that it gets caused.
And what was it, and what was it this time?
And so I'm referring to Brodie Croft.
Oh, yes.
So the crux of the matter is here that everyone's writing these concern for Brodie pieces.
Yeah.
And how, you know, his mental health must be in tatters, and the once promising young star and blah, 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 saying that it was terrible that everyone kept referring to him as the next Cooper Cronk.
Yep.
You cunts were the ones writing the articles.
Mm. Yes.
You know, it's...
Same people that wrote that Luke Brooks was the next Andrew Johns.
Yeah, so that's how slow of a news week it is.
Yeah.
Dragons tone deaf using JDB, image of JDB to promote women in league ground. It's quality.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we were recording, and look, I understand.
You're
how
a fucking simp.
Jesus,
how dare you? I understand how if they're like publishing like an article on the Dragons website, and it automatically pushes to social media, and they've got like, you know, gallery pictures and it's pushed that one through as the thumbnail. It's gone through to a social media service. Like, I get it. However, if you're fucking working at the Dragons as their DG, surely you can read the fucking room well enough to know that even if you had a gallery of photographs attached to a Dragons team list or something,
yep,
and anything to do with women in anything, you just don't put a fucking picture of JDB in there at all.
Yeah.
At all, so that it could fucking be pushed out. And look, and like, that's me giving the benefit of the doubt because I don't, you know, I know how it works with these things, you know, pushing the images through. But if they've actually like legitimately selected a picture of a fucking Dragons player in full flight, not even thinking for a moment, oh fuck, that's JDB. Probably not the best look in women in league. Perhaps we'll grab a picture of fucking Zach Lomax instead. But no. Yeah. So, anyway, there's going to be a digi job opening up at the Dragons, I'm sure, and no doubt. So, if you want to be paid a significantly low wage and work incredibly long hours across the time when, you know, all your friends and family are relaxing.
Mm. Jobs in footy, get onto bro. That. Get a job in footy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not as easy as being an ambassador for mental health.
No.
I'll give you that.
I don't know why they couldn't just use a photo of some of the players having a barbecue with their mums for women in league round. What could possibly
even if they did that as like kind of a sly sort of wink wink nudge nudge, they'd get absolutely destroyed over that as well.
They fucking would. That's what I'm looking for.
That's what
burn that entire fucking club to the ground and their fan base. Lock them all in the fucking same room.
See, if they did that to try and, like, you know, just have a bit of a wink and a laugh about the whole thing, and now that they've finished their suspensions, you know, I'd be like, you know, well played. I get it. I get jokes. But, you just know what the social media people who just want to be fucking outraged about something.
Yeah.
How they'd take it. And, they'd be tagging fucking Vlandys and everything and tagging everyone in the post trying to get the, you know, somebody fired. So yeah,
some people other... would be radicalized, Nathan.
They would be. They'd be radicalized. Oh my god, can you imagine the fucking private messages that the Dragons Digi would be getting, talking about all the fucking Bunnings sausage sizzle people that have been radicalized by this illicit barbecue talk. Into the games, boys. Melbourne Storm versus Canberra Raiders, Sunshine Coast Stadium, Thursday night. The Storm side this week has Felice Kaufusi returning from suspension. Big Nelson returns from injury as well. Tom Eisenhuth and Tepai Moroa drop to the reserves. Kaufusi starts second row. Nass on the interchange. The Canberra Raiders side. Bailey Simonson returns on the wing. Semi Valame drops out. Elijah Anderson is omitted. Soliola replaces him. And that's it. And well, you got Corey Harawira-Naera. So I'm just going through, just looking. I see. Yep. Lovely. I don't think it really matters. No. The Sunshine Coast is a very valid home away from home for the Melbourne Storm.
Yep.
Everywhere in fucking Queensland is, as it turns out, with like last like 25 or whatever it is matches in a row they've won in Queensland.
Yep.
And look, I don't think the Raiders are. Yeah, the Raiders are getting wins. The desperation, they need every fucking win they can get. Yeah. And just desperation is just not going to carry them through.
I think that the Raiders... basic
disparity of ability.
I think that the Raiders can actually continue to change some perceptions as to what type of side they are. I don't think there's any hope in hell that they win this game, but it's about how they compete. If they completely capitulate and get destroyed, there's a whole fucking boatload of questions again about what Canberra are about. And, you know, they'll still potentially limp into the finals. But for the side that they have on paper, they legit should be able to compete with the Storm. But I mean, just
when you're talking about... They...
Hang on. Who on paper from that Canberra side is competing with the Storm?
They're not a million miles from a side that made the fucking grand final not two seasons ago.
Yeah, no, but what you're saying is, like, on paper, Jack Whiten, but in actuality, yeah, he's fucking hopeless. Again, and in fact, he's worse than Jared Croker this year.
Papali'i, Hodgson, you know, there's...
Yeah, but Hodgson's Whitehead had the biggest fucking decline of any player in recent
memory. Yeah, I agree. That's why I say for Jack on Whiten. Paper.
And they happen to be the same team.
But I'm saying, so on paper 3 years ago, yes.
Mm.
But even on paper now, I don't think there's anyone in that Canberra team. So if you're Craig Bellamy and you look at that Canberra roster, who gets a bench spot in your side?
Look, I think Josh Papali'i could get it. I think anyone would grab him. He's a handy fucking player. Yep, yeah,
certainly is.
And look, I think, you know, I mean, if we're playing this mental, you know, this thought exercise, like someone like Elliot Whitehead would be a weapon under Bellamy. I'm sure, as well. But yeah, I mean, what you're saying is correct. It's, and talking about on paper, this game is an allegory of fucking print media versus internet media, with the fucking camera. The news is all fucking old on paper.
Yeah.
And look, they're going to, the Storm are going to run through them, and I'm sure they're going to get better at the way they integrate Pappy another week down the track.
Yep.
They're going to get better at that. And, look, I just think that the Raiders are going to be on the end of one here, no matter what, whether they fucking like it or not. And the thing you're talking about, you know, the perception and what sort of team the Canberra Raiders are, that sort of shit is fucking irrelevant. They're either a winning team or they're a losing team. And then if they're a losing team, then for their fan bases, little exercises on the forums, it's what sort of team are we?
Yeah.
And then that becomes a discussion point. But at the moment, just fucking win. That's what they need. And then if they don't win, then you can start the conversations about what sort of team they are.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, and the answer, we know the answer already. One that's significantly fucking worse than 2019's version.
Mm.
Yeah.
The Dragons take on the Panthers. Okay, so it's the early game on Friday at Suncorp. Are you going to this game, Stepdad?
Not at this stage. and only right. because I haven't even looked at tickets yet.
Yeah. I think if it's like the other stadiums, I think they'll be running it at 50% capacity. But as we saw that when Manly was playing the Tigers and Panthers were playing the Broncos, that was a fucking doubleheader that had a Broncos game in it. And there was like 6,000 people there. Yeah. It was like three bays in the middle on each side of the field had people in them, and that was fucking it. So even that, you know, even with restrictions, you know, keeping the potential capacity to like 27,000 or something.
Yeah.
They're not even going to fucking, they probably won't even breach 10. Dragon side, Tarik Sims is suspended. Cody Ramsey's injured. Did you see that injury with Cody Ramsey?
Yeah, his teeth.
Fucking brain genius. He's got his teeth like he's fucking completely fucked up.
Yeah.
Never because he doesn't wear, he's never worn a mouth guard ever. Like, what's the fucking rationale behind that? He's not a playmaker. He's not calling out. And you know what?
Maybe even he's got an overactive gag reflex.
But even people who are playmakers and are doing a lot of chat in the field still wear fucking mouth guards.
Exactly.
And he's a winger as well, where like, you know, part of the wingers, part of their job is taking the fucking tough ones back to give the forwards a rest. And it's also, you know, scoring, you know, diving and trying to muscle through into the corner when guys are coming across with legs and arms and all sorts of shit that, you know, invariably hits you in the face.
Now, here's the thing. My new philosophy are that the non-mouth guard wearers of this world
yes.
should be free to do so.
Do you believe in it so strongly that you would put a frame around your Facebook profile image that says, my mouth, my choice?
I would put in and say, I'm not going to put some experimental plastic device into my body that's untested.
This concerning, given some of the poor choices about things to go into your mouth that you've made over the years. I find it very concerning that now mouth guards are the thing you're drawing the line at.
They were all natural, Glenn. All natural. In fact,
has the FDA ever approved mouth guards?
No,
for internal use on humans.
That's it. The Federal Dentistry Association has not. But I also.
And what's to say they're effective anyway, though?
Just from that attitude, I'm assuming Ramsey doesn't wear seatbelts either.
Yeah.
And I applaud that decision. Yep.
Seems like the waste of a perfectly good windshield, but I mean, this is how people learn lessons.
You just see that fucking ragged scalper he's lying on the bitumen. Penrith were much improved last week, and I think that being up against such quality opposition as the Roosters probably put a little bit of a reality check into them. And I'm assuming this week they'll go out and tighten up a little bit more in defence and really try and get back to that team that won games on the back of having an, you know, impenetrable defensive line. So no word yet on Cleary definitively.
Yep.
Like name, in 21, but, name in the squad, but you know, again, what the fuck does that mean?
What is the situation with Tevita Pangai Jr. being named in the squad? I mean, when he had to, I mean, you know, we don't have to go into the tragic circumstances of why he didn't play last week and had to leave. Does that not remove him from the bubble and then put him on the back burner for a couple of weeks?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yes, it should, but.
Yeah. But.
Because, you know, it's just he's named in 18, that's all. So, yeah.
And there may be medical exemptions given it's become apparent already that the NRL has a direct line into the chief health officer in Queensland.
Right.
So when they allowed the games to keep going, that weekend we went into lockdown where they had to cancel the games the for games, a day.
Yeah. Yep.
The story the chief health officer gave in the press conference was that they contacted the NRL and said, call your games off. The NRL then went away and came back and said, hey, we've revised our, you know, biosecurity protocols. And they said, that's fine, you're okay to resume. So there is a line of communication between health authorities and the NRL. So who knows what's been done or what, you know, testing or exceptions have been given.
Yeah, look, truth be told, the Panthers don't have to fucking, they don't have to tighten up or do any of that sort of thing, given the opposition they're up against this week.
The only thing that would save the Dragons is if they called the game off.
Yeah.
Again, other than that, they're going to get face fucked so hard that they're going to end up looking like Cody Ramsey.
Yeah. The Broncos take on the Roosters late game at Suncorp on Friday night. The Broncos side, okay, so Flegler suspended, was suspended, he returns at prop. So Keenan Palacio, he's suspended, so they swap over there, basically. Brody Croft is out of the squad. Presumably, I guess they've, Kevy's just torching the season. He's just like, well, look, you know, he's signed for Salford now, so.
Salford.
There's no, you know, there's no benefit to trying to jam him into the side. Albert Kelly will play halfback. Cobbo and Coates come into the back line. Jesse Arthurs and Jermaine Osako are out. Roosters side. Okay, so Crichton's suspended for 3 weeks, so Tupanua comes into the back row. Manu moves to the wing, and Copley makes his first appearance at centre. Letters is being rested this week with now Fahu White named to debut on the bench. Again, much like the Panthers game.
Yeah.
The Broncos, yeah, like, look, they're much improved. Their starts are better. Their attitude as a whole is better. They still have a little. They still have that little mini sort of collapse.
Stop being a fucking simp.
And catastrophe. Is that, did you fucking just learn that? Did you get on TikTok or something and just learn a new word this week or something? That's like the second or third time you've said it.
I don't think he knows he's being racist.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know. Toowoomba.
I'm in Toowoomba. Okay. There's no such thing as racism. Roosters by plenty. By the time the Friday games are over, everyone's going to be screaming about fucking PVL ball and the scores blowing out again.
There hasn't been a lot of chat over the last couple of weeks, has there?
Yeah. No,
this will bring it back. These first three games for this weekend will bring it back.
I don't see anything stopping the Roosters in this game. Do you guys have anything that you're going to convince me otherwise with?
No,
not at all. Oh, look, and
Rabbits.
And
oh, sorry, go ahead.
If there's anything, you remember what happened the last time these two teams met?
I really don't.
It was the upset of upsets. The Broncos won.
Okay.
You know. And,
oh yes, yes.
Yeah. So I think the game will be closer than a lot of people think, just because the Broncos have got that "we got them last time" and it wasn't that long ago belief in them, which may carry them a little further.
But the Roosters also have "they got us last time."
Yeah.
Hmm. So.
And also chasing a top, you know, like there's a top four position on the offing for them as well. So
there's reason. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the Rabbits take on the Titans at Cbus on Saturday afternoon. No changes for the Rabbits from last round 17. The Titans have Tyrone Peachy replaces Aaron Clark on the bench. Bofirma retains the 17 and starts in the second row, while Fifita remains on the bench. And which is weird. I mean, if he's going to start on the bench, then fucking put him in jersey 14 through 17. I mean, maybe it's an ego thing. We're paying you $1 million. You better wear like a starting player number. Okay, so for this one, the Titans are doing that Titans thing like they did last year, which gave their fans wonderful hope coming into this season, whereas they're playing pretty fucking well and they're putting wins together. So, you know, it's pretty much borderline too late. It's not too late. It's not too late this year, though, but they run into the Rabbits side, who are building week on week for a serious tilt at the finals. And look, this is not the game for the Titans.
Yeah, I don't think the Titans outside backs are going to be able to contain the ball movement of South, and then try and keep a leash on Mitchell and Walker doing their thing. They're just too skillful.
That's it.
It's almost like a perfect sort of finals build-up game for the Rabbits, because their forwards will get a decent contest in the middle.
Yeah.
One thing the Titans do have is a great pack.
Yep.
Well, yeah, which is why I say the outside backs will be tested.
Yeah, like the forwards will have a great hit out. The Rabbitohs forwards, I mean. Yet at the same time, it's kind of like their outside backs will have like a training run and they can run through some plays.
Well, look, as opposed to a training run and run through some plays, I need them to run a train. And I need them to run a train on fucking Anthony Don, who decided the day after I gave him props of being a crucial piece of the fucking Titans attacking structure.
He's like, there's nothing retires. More for me to achieve in the game after... after Jay has given me his tick of approval. That's so, it.
The problem with Anthony Don, though, however, of course, is that he'll be in the back of a ute getting a lap around the field because he's not cracking the first grade side at this point. So they won't literally be able to
I still want them
anything
to run
directly
a train.
On him.
I want them to literally run a train on him.
Yep. Okay. The Cowboys take on the West Tigers, 5:30 on Saturday afternoon up there at the Abattoir. And this is one of those games, Glennie, the Cowboys side, though.
Nathan? I don't know what you're referring to.
Let me talk about the teams, and I'll tell you. Taumalolo is out with a hand injury. Murray Taulagi and Lachlan Burr are out with HIAs. Condon replaces Taumalolo in the back row. Hampton moves to the wing for Taulagi. And Granville, this time, deputising at centre, at least on the team list.
That man can't do.
Well, Arcee replaces Leomelu in the other centre position. Murderous Frank Molo starts at prop. Gilbert drops to the bench, and Nanai and Niame could debut after being named on the interchange. The West Tigers side, unchanged 17. And the Jets' COVID quarantine has ended, and he is named in jersey number 21. And Zach Sini is on the real bench, number 17 this week. So when you're saying one of those games, Glennie, I was saying the West Tigers own the Cowboys.
That's especially nice of you, in North nice Queensland. Of you to acknowledge that.
And like the way they owned them in the first Tommy Memorial game this year. My memory was fresh from watching Tiger Town this week. Watch it if you haven't watched it. Monday night's fucking tremendous. Now are the West Tigers actually gonna own them this time though? For reals?
Look, there's certain things that you can count on.
Keep winning and remain mathematically in with a chance at even better than ninth.
Well, I feel like in life, there's certain things that are guaranteed, except for the anomaly earlier in the season. And the West Tigers beating the North Queensland Cowboys is something that you can set your watch by. You know that the game's going to come around, the Cowboys are going to be intimidated by the sheer class and brilliance of the West Tigers, and as they've been for better part of a decade. And they're going to trot out at their glorious home stadium, and they're going to put in a mediocre performance and get trounced, absolutely fucking trounced, as the Tigers begin their finals preparations.
Really?
Really.
Look, I think the Cowboys are, I thought when they were, when guys like RTS and that were getting the early mark, I thought it was the Warriors side that were the team that looked to be the first ones that were going to be pulling the pin on the season. But now, after the last 2 weeks, I think it feels more like perhaps the Cowboys are the team that's looking for the Mad Monday.
And it's, if it's one thing the Tigers have shown they're adept at is, teaching teams that have clocked off early for the season a lesson. I look forward to them educating the Cowboys.
Oh, this is the thing. It's an extremely winnable game for the West Tigers. In fact, they should be the favourites by a long way.
Are they, though?
I don't know. Tell me what you're looking at.
Yeah, they are $1.60 favourites.
$1.60 favourites, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So they're not quite up to that good team level of around $1.05 when you're playing the Cowboys, but they're favourites.
I will say, though, if we play like we did against the Bulldogs, we will get knocked off.
See, I don't even think you're
fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, but I don't know if you will. Honestly, I think it'll
just
be the same.
You don't know if we'll play that poorly, or you don't.
No. If you play that poorly, I think it'll just be kind of like last week. Like it'll just be an unconvincing win, but still, more than a converted try in front by the end of it.
Mm.
I think it'd be a very similar sort of thing. It wouldn't surprise me to see that, but surely, Glennie, surely. They're going to stamp their authority on a game, right? At least once this year for you.
Surely.
You can't hope for too much in life, Nathan. You just need to be able to accept that your team sometimes just does the bare fucking minimum and sometimes less than that in order to win / get demoralisingly beaten in games of rugby league. This game, chalk it up as a win. Fuck the Cowboys. Fuck their fans. Anything worse than the St. George Illawarra club and their fan base is the Cowboys.
Your whole vibe while speaking about this game is just basically like, it's got this undercurrent of defeat that makes it almost like just the perfect encapsulation of like
mental health in a pandemic era. You've said a number of times about how you've taken in tales from Tiger Town.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can listen to those tales and then be surprised at the undercurrent of defeat that flows through these veins.
I'm pretty sure, after watching two episodes, I'm pretty sure I know what Madge's pre-game speech is going to consist of, though.
In this game?
Yeah. Yeah, every game. Every game. Fucking, yeah. Enjoy yourselves out there. Fucking, be the team you know you are. Fucking. That's pretty much
the West fucking Tigers are always in a fucking game. He's endeared himself to me just with his potty mouth, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Like I say, I like Madge after watching the show, and I'm going to be sad when he gets fired in the season finale.
I too will be sad.
You'd think that, you know, him trying to do that to be a pseudo father figure wouldn't go over very well, but it's fairly fucking obvious that most of those West Tiger players don't actually know what a father's supposed to look or act like.
Well, we do represent the Western suburbs, mate.
That's it.
That's fairly fucking standard.
Yes.
So, look.
So what you're saying is maybe if he wants to get more cut through in like a father figure sort of sense,
he needs to leave.
He needs to leave and then walk back in at half time with a jug cord and just start fucking laying into them all. Right. So obviously we're all going for the Tigers to win here. I mean, it's surely.
They're models. Surely. They're absolute models. Yeah.
Can't lose.
I agree, guys.
To an unlikely finals berth.
I agree. And if anything has set my return this year up more perfectly than the Tigers fucking finishing ninth in the year that I come back, I don't know what has.
Mate, I know what you're complaining about. I mean, you came back and they got a whole fucking TV show about them. Life's good. All right. The Mighty Manly Seagulls take on the Eels at Sunshine Coast Stadium. And I shall be there. Paseka's out with an ankle injury. Toff Sipley suspended over some bullshit. Garlic Sauce starts up front with DeLewis and Sirinen on the bench. The Eels side. Okay, so Joey Lussick comes in to replace Reed Marnie, who looks like he's gone for the season at this point. Kafusi is out, so Papali'i moves to prop. Lane replaces Papali'i in the back row. And Makatoa fills the bench vacancy. And Oldie, Michael Oldfield, replaces the dumpster on the wing.
Fuck. Still running around.
The journeyman. I fucking love Oldie. He's still responsible to this day for one of my favourite memories of a Manly win. And you were around that. You were around there. That was the win, Manly versus Cronulla, where Cronulla were leading 13-0.
Oh, sorry. Did you mistake the look on my face for me caring?
No, it wasn't caring. No, you were doing this puzzled look on your face, like I can't remember what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Look at me swimming in my fucking bowl like a little bald goldfish, oblivious.
As opposed to a hairy goldfish, you fucking idiot.
Oblivious to events that have taken place more than 10 minutes in
it's
the past.
It's not like it was in a movie. I can understand forgetting it.
Well, no, that's right. If it was in a movie, you haven't fucking seen it at all. Not forgotten about it.
Look, you got to let him do this thing. He does this thing where he remembers a Manly story and he thinks everybody else is really interested in it.
Yeah.
So just nod and smile.
I do. I've had a bit of practice with that when you talk about Ryan Girdler.
There's something,
so you're right.
There's something that you should know about me and don't. I don't give a fuck about your interest about anything.
There you go. So smile and nod.
You'll be subjected to the fucking stories and you'll fucking like it. And if not, it doesn't matter. Eels, what else is happening with those
Thanks cars? For not telling us the story though. Appreciate it.
Look, the Sharkman 05 story is one of the most legendary stories in the history of the show. And it doesn't need that much fucking reminding.
While you've been doing that, I've been reading message requests on our Instagram, and I've just been selected as a new brand ambassador for Mini Activewear.
I bet you have. Well, I can't wait to see you in those hot pants.
The booty lifting exercise shorts.
Stop it.
Reading here, camel so fat they can see it from the back.
Oh, wow.
Unless you've missed it, it's
yeah. Hot. So I think
it's hot now to have a camel toe.
Yeah, so reply to that. Yeah, well, let's do that.
Yeah,
we'll get let's get some fucking camel toe action going on.
That's it. Oh, done.
Isn't it funny those things come through? Okay, so look, you know,
Manly,
it's gonna be tough for the little man, the little Manly Seagulls that could. It's gonna be a tough fucking game for them without some of their props, especially when you look at what Parramatta for for better or for worse. You know, the forwards is where they do have something going on. I think they're going to struggle. I think the Eels are going to struggle somewhat without Reid Marnie. Joey Lussick's not too bad. He's been pretty good.
He's serviceable. You're right.
But Reid Marnie is one of their key players.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, Parramatta
has no fucking chance in this game. No way. No fucking how.
Like, you want to talk about,
I like your confidence, boys. Yeah,
Manly's handling errors last week. Parramatta have been absolutely atrocious in the last little while. And with Marnie gone, they lose a little bit of enthusiasm. Probably won't be as crucial as a lot of people are thinking. You know, when Moses was out, I was expecting Marnie to step up a notch and really take control of a percentage of that team, or at least some responsibility for what they did, which he didn't do. But the Eels are on a fucking slide to nowhere.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I think can pick them up, to be honest. The fact that the whispers in the media have turned into full-blown fucking death riding this week. Like, the Eels are fucking gone and, et cetera, et cetera. So, look, if anything's going to... If it's possible for them to get awakened from their fucking slumber, then this is the week for it to happen. And if it doesn't happen this week, then they may lose out all the way through.
Yeah.
And wind up in like sixth or something and get knocked out by a shit team in the first round of the finals even. But let's see if Clinton Gutherson can earn that millie that he wants.
Fuck, I'll tell you what.
I'm predicting no.
If I'm Parramatta and the stories of the agent, you've embarrassed yourself and this, I'd be having a quiet word to somebody I know at Manly about exactly what Tommy's on. And I'd be emailing Gutho's agent and say, we've just had it on pretty good authority that the fullback he's going up against this week is on, what's Tommy on? He'd be on, 800K?
Yeah, he'd be on more like a million, I reckon.
He wasn't on that list that we went through. Remember we went through the list of players on a mil looking for the most disappointing one? I thought he was on about 800K.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he'd be on more than that, yeah.
But let's say I'd send that email straight to Gutherson's agent. And go, hey, the opposing team's fullback's on 800K.
Yeah.
So I invite you to watch the game. And then if you can come back after this game and justify...
Just watch 10 minutes of the game.
Justify why he is worth...
More than
the
that.
The same...
Yeah.
As that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We will listen to it. If you can actively convince us of that point, we will happily write him a check for $1 million right now.
Yeah.
Perfect opportunity.
And so this is the first time I haven't been up to the Sunshine Coast Stadium since it was called Sunshine Coast Stadium and they sort of built it out a bit more. I've only ever been up there the one time and it was for a trial game against the Warriors in probably 2009 preseason maybe.
Yep.
And so interested to go up there and see what it's all about. And I think this is 50% capacity. I think there'll be a max of 6,000 in there. So got some nice seats, as per my dictate to go to every single game that I can. And I got my brother down, so he's getting to go see his first Manly game in fucking years.
There you go.
Right.
He's not planning to fucking jihad the government while he's there.
No, remember we were talking the other night after we were recording and he got his approval instantly.
Well,
Who
would have predicted that would have happened?
Yeah, and they were like, oh no, you're fucking, like, he supplied 12 fucking documents and all this support, and they're going, oh, no, no, you're clearly in this bucket.
Yeah.
You can go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There you go.
The Warriors take on the Bulldogs at Redcliffe, and like I had the fucking dream, Manly game down the road at Redcliffe, Rona comes in, scuttles that, and so what do they serve up for the fucking Morton Daly Stadium this week? A doubleheader. Well, that's good. A lot of footy, right? No. Warriors versus Bulldogs, followed by the Sharks versus the Knights.
Oh, wow.
It's Monday night, come early at Redcliffe on Sunday. first one there is the Warriors versus the Bulldogs, though. The Warriors side, Kane Evans and Matt Lodge are predictably suspended, along with Vialia. Out of the lineup, Pompey is the new centre. Jackson Free to debut in the front row for Lodge. Tanoa Brown fills in for Evans on the bench, and Chad Townsend and Wade Egan are reserves. The Doggy side, with one of the more interesting team lists of the week, I think. The Raiders have loaned Ryan James and Corey Horsberg to the Doggies for a fortnight. And so, looking at this team list, they're going to go straight in. And Ryan James will actually start as prop with Ava Siamatafanai, with Dylan Napper and Hetherington suspended. Fucking Hetherington suspended. Who would have thought?
Sure. Never happens.
Corey Waddell's also out, and he's replaced by Dory in the back row. For all the success that the Doggies haven't achieved this season, you know, which we've spoken about ad nauseum, they are sort of trying. You know what I mean? There's an effort there that you don't see in some of the other clubs.
Yep.
Like, for example, the Cowboys at the moment, the last fortnight. The Warriors have had identical wins 2 weeks running, falling behind, you know, a couple of tries, coming back to, you know, narrowly squeak out a win at the end of it. The Doggies are probably the least strike power of any side that they've come up against.
Yeah, the one change is I can't see the Warriors falling behind in this game. And I think that the Warriors over the last couple of weeks have actually showed, you know, outside of the finish to last week's game, I think they've shown some sort of willingness, a bit like you say about the Dogs, that, you know, we expected them to turn up their toes, but they've come to play in patches. I don't expect this to be a high quality match, if I'm honest, but I'm going to tip the Warriors.
Yeah, 100% I'm tipping the Warriors. There's no fucking doubt in my mind, and I'm actually quite excited to see what this young halves pairing does again.
I would tip the Warriors. Honestly, I just want to see Reece Walsh run fucking wild. This is probably his best chance to really show, have one of those like superstar games. And while at the same time, you know, I don't see the Doggies throwing a ton at him either, to defend. And
he should have a good afternoon.
Put yourself in the shoes of Corey Horsburgh. You're playing for the Raiders. You had some bad luck with injuries. Yeah, you did that. You had that crying thing, pointing and crying. What does it do to you mentally as a player to be shipped to the Dogs on a loan? Like, that's for a player who's not necessarily the most mentally resilient, I guess. That's it. I mean, it's almost like a fucking death knell, isn't it?
Look, the positives are that they could use his tears to mop the floors of the dressing rooms, tidy it up nicely.
To buff up Trent's outdoor furniture.
Exactly. The fact that, you know, he's been sent on loan to the Dogs and still not considered good enough to make the starting side is quite interesting. At least Ryan James went straight in, but I guess he got fucking prop suspended.
Ryan James is a player that we've supported on this show for a very long time. You know, through numerous injuries in the Titans, and you know, he had a sparkling start to his Canberra career, and we're like, great, he's finally doing something. You know, he's finally like achieving some potential or showing what he can do, and he's in a nominally, you know, like at the time on paper, as you said, a better side too.
Yeah.
Than the Titans, but
another reason to hate Ricky Stewart.
It sucks to say that he's been now sent to the Doggies for a liner. It's outrageous, to be honest. Okay, finally, the Sharkies take on the Knights, also at Mortondale Stadium at Redcliffe. The Sharky side, Will Chambers dropped, as we mentioned earlier in the show. Talakai moves to centre, Jack Williams to second row, Rudolph to lock, and Hamlin Ueli starts at prop. Magoulias is the new interchange player. The Newcastle Knights side, Jaden Brayley returns in hooker. Chris Randall drops out, along with the injured Lachlan Fitzgibbon. Barnett moves to second row, Watson to lock, and Sasagi joins the interchange.
Knights for me.
Yeah, has to be, right?
Yeah. Have the Sharks set a new record for a club that brings in these new superstars that explode onto the scene and then do fucking nothing?
Who's the current one that you're thinking of?
Well, you just mentioned that fucking Magoulias kid.
Yeah, he was all over it last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, came in, you know, high praise, great first couple of games. Then nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So, yeah.
Poverty club. Newcastle. By plenty.
Yeah.
I think they'll be more settled in halves.
Well, this would be what the Knights would consider their first up, their tier one spine, best in position for each position that they have on their books right now. And obviously it wasn't the one that they started the season with, but, you know, the mid-season acquisition of Jake Clifford is a huge upgrade at 5'8" over, you know, Kurt Mann.
Yes.
So, yeah, the Knights are one of those teams that are right in the mix there for one of those last two positions. And this is a game that they should be banking. Also against another team that is duking it out for those positions as well. So it's like a double, you know, it's a double win.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting 2 points for yourself, but you're also depriving 2 points from a competitor who's right there level with you, you know, vying for the same two spots.
Yep.
So, I mean, well, there must be about six teams vying for those two spots, right? Well, maybe more.
Again, I did the ladder predictor the other night.
Include the Tigers.
When we were talking on the show, and I think it was sixth to 10th.
Yep.
All finished on the same amount of points.
Yep.
And it was for and against that separated.
Well, seventh to 10th.
Seventh to 10th, was it?
Yeah, because sixth is still about four games ahead of three at this point.
Yeah, so Manly's 6 points out of the Titans.
Yep.
From six to seventh.
So. Yep. And so I guess we can update that and have a play. I haven't had a play with the ladder predictor yet this year, so I may do that and see what happens. But yeah, look, Knights, I think we're all agreed, right?
Yep.
Okay, let's hit some mailbag. And first up this week, I have Cameron, who says, or asks, "Is I would like you to comment on how hard it is to be a fucking Broncos supporter, or Tigers for that matter, and remain calm enough to not cop 30-day Zuck bans every 33 days. Kind regards, polite Facebook user." Look, you know how it is. Like, Facebook is a fucking hole. But the community there is great, but you've just got to understand there are things that, even though it's a private community and we don't ban people for anything, if you say something that could be construed by an algorithm as abusive and you put swear words into it,
that's it.
Banned. You put a picture of Big Dick Barry, banned. A picture of the casting couch with Piper Perry and the dude standing behind the couch, banned. I'm just listing the things that I've been banned for over the last 12 months. and then once you've been banned, then it just seems to be increasingly easy to get banned for less and less next time around. So, yeah, my advice is just be a polite Facebook user.
As your name implies.
Yes, exactly. John says, "I think Trent Robinson is now as bad as Sticky in press conferences regarding referees. It's never his team's fault when they cop a loss now."
I think that's a stretch, but I can see that there's a trend for Trent towards. I think Ricky's still on an island all his own as far as complaining about referees. But
I feel like Ricky is just sooking, whereas Trent is
trying to be manipulative.
Strategically trying to manipulate what happens next week, based on the sections that he highlights
And best case scenario. Whereas I think Ricky is exactly as you've said, sooking about the result. What Ricky's doing is sooking about the result of the game, whereas it seems to me that Robbo is talking about incidents.
Yeah.
He's talking about specific points in time, and it doesn't come across that he's blaming those for the loss. But yeah, it is happening with increasing frequency, so there's something there.
Yeah. Ben says, hi guys, did you see that Sportsbet have a specific market for the Tigers to finish ninth? And he supplied a screenshot there, and at the moment, they're paying $15. That represents fair value in my mug punter mentality. Might be worth a flutter, maybe in our Bet with Mates group.
I would suggest at $15, they're going to finish 10th.
Yeah.
If they're paying 15 bucks to finish 9th.
Yeah, well, they're finishing less than, like, worse than 9th.
Yeah, that's it.
I dare say, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I can't imagine that you'd lose that bet because they finished 8th or 7th.
Yeah, that's it.
Not at all. James said, having pledged my lawyer to the Magpies and House Glennie, is it wrong that I respect the beauty of teams like Manly and Penrith? Like real dad having laid eyes on a shirtless Rennie Matua. Hashtag latent. Hashtag you've got me all wrong.
You really have.
There's a deep cut there.
That's some old school stuff.
He didn't go for the low hanging fruit like Sonny Bill either. He's gone the deep cut, the Rennie Matua, yeah.
I think as a rugby league fan, you should appreciate the capabilities of the better sides in the competition. That's reasonable and fair.
So for you,
a beautifully worked try is a beautifully worked try.
So it's probably good, Glenn, on that logic that you get to watch all the games for the show because you get to watch all the teams that are better than yours.
It's not like we're around last, mate. Come on. That's just silly. As the host of the number one rugby league podcast on the planet, I'd expect better.
Well,
if we were the worst team, we'd be running last. We're not.
No, he's just saying that.
And we destroyed the team that is running last, not fucking a handful of days ago.
How'd you miss that, though? You beat Penrith. That was your perfect opportunity to remind me that you beat Penrith.
Mate, I'm not one.
You're so shit at this, Glennie.
I'm not one to bask in illegitimate joy.
I want to throw in the towel here, Glennie. You just like you just don't have that fire anymore, kid. You don't have the spark.
Jumped directly onto a fucking concrete floor.
Missed the table.
Gabe says, Scarface. Have you seen Scarface, Glennie?
Nope.
You're fucking shitting me, really?
You've asked me a question. I've given you an answer.
No, I mean, but I don't know if you're like trolling me or no. Because really, wow, okay.
Like you've got so much in common with him.
Have I?
You come from the gutter. Like really, fucking hell.
Is that it?
You love burying your face in mountains of cocaine.
You know when it's. When it's missionary night in the Blakely household, you scream at your wife, say hello to my little friend.
My teeny tiny friend.
So anyway, the count for Scarface of the number of fucks in Scarface, 207. Tiger Town, fuck count at series end, 49,384, 98% from Madge.
The rest from me.
Hayden says, all right, spot 7 and 8, who's getting it? Titans, Raiders, Knights, Sharks, and the Mars Barbecue Dragons, more than likely the teams to take it, but have a hard draw against them coming up against the genuine top 8 sides to end their seasons. Warriors and Tigers have a very outside chance, but having the easy inside of the draw with only 4 games left in playing bottom 4 teams. Will we all get to the finale and season-ending episode we all want in Wild West Tiger Town, where all the Tigers need to do to make the 8 is win their last game of the season, which I will add is against the Bulldogs, and they absolutely Tiger-rest the chance and make absolute cunts of themselves.
Well, art truly imitates life.
Let's do it live on air. Live on air right now. Right. So we've got our tips in for this week.
Yep.
Next week, Storm and Titans.
Well... Storm, right?
Storm.
Why are you asking?
Raiders, Manly.
I could rest everybody.
Manly.
Manly.
Penrith, Rabbits.
fuck, that's a tough one. But it doesn't affect these bottom. It doesn't affect the bottom feeders anyway, so that's fine. Either that's way it goes.
Tiger Sharks.
Tigers. See, look.
Now I want to say Tigers. I've given the Tigers this one.
Yeah.
Knights Bulldogs.
Knights.
Eels Cowboys.
Eels.
Roosters Dragons.
Roosters.
Warriors Broncos.
Yeah, that could go either way, right?
Yep.
That's crucial too, because if you give it to the Warriors, that gives them some valuable points.
It does, but they're in 12th.
Yeah, but they can use the points. Broncos can't, though. Right?
Okay, so let's give it to the Warriors.
Right.
Can I just say, you know, the other thing we've just shown?
What's that?
That these episodes on a Wednesday should be about 8 seconds long. Everything else.
It's true. We're padding this one out, aren't we? Requirements.
Welcome to this minute in the league. Knights, Titans.
Knights.
Raiders, Warriors.
Raiders.
Raiders.
Rabbits, Roosters.
Rabbits.
Cowboys, Dragons.
Dragons.
Yeah, probably Dragons. Yep. I think.
Sharks, Broncos.
Sharks.
Storm, yeah, Para.
Storm.
Manly, Bulldogs.
Manly.
Penrith, Tigers.
Well, that's the big one, isn't it? That's the one, right?
Yep.
Let's say Penrith now, but keeping in mind that the Tigers, let's see where the Tigers are and if they're 2 points away from it at the end.
Okay. Raiders, Roosters.
Roosters.
Sharks, Storm.
Storm, obviously, yeah.
Panthers, Eels.
Panthers.
Knights, Broncos.
Knights.
I'd say probably Knights, yeah.
Yep. Manly, Cowboys.
Manly.
Rabbits, Dragons.
Rabbits. These ones seem pretty cut and dried.
Titans, Warriors.
I would say Titans on that one.
Yep. Tigers, Bulldogs.
I'm going to say Tigers.
Tigers.
Okay, so based on that, the Tigers finish eighth.
Wow.
I've been fucking even, trying to tell you, Cap.
Even without the Panthers win.
Without the Panthers win.
Wow.
And I think, what was the one that changed? Was it Dragons?
Who's in ninth?
So ninth is the Titans,
right?
Because they do have a difficult draw,
and
yeah,
they're 4 points clear
at the moment.
No. At end of season on this ladder predictor,
that they're 4 points ahead of ninth.
Yeah.
Wow, which means that there's no fucking way in hell it goes this way.
So,
none.
So it's why Storm, like that? Storm, Penrith, South and Manly, your top four.
Top four, fucking yes.
Roosters, Newcastle, Para, Tigers.
Which means...
Para so down to seventh.
Eighth plays sixth, fifth?
Yes.
In the final?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 6, 7, 5, 8, yeah.
So you play the Roosters.
Anyway.
100-minute game, 100-minute game too. Electric Boogaloo.
Fucking Jesus!
Imagine. Who's going to be the Who's going to be Sean Kenny Dowell? Who's going to be Liam Fulton? Who's going to be the Braithen Asta?
So the Titans get the Knights, which they need to win, and
Manly rematch the Storm and get them this time because of the lessons they learned. Fucking beautiful.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. I don't think they beat the Rabbits or the Storm.
They'll have to beat both of them on the way.
There you go, Glennie. The Tigers are going to play finals this year.
Congratulations, mate. It's awesome.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys.
You got to be happy, though, right? You're happy with that.
You know, it's good that you guys are finally on board. I really appreciate the fact that, you know, we're all as one tonight. This one brief moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, you understand. It's not like it's not like an anti-vaccine.
We're on the same fucking page.
We've just been presented with facts. We're not talking about like what we want to happen. We're just saying, look, there you go.
That's it.
The season's played out, and you finished easily in eighth.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. That's the end of the show for this season, and we'll just leave it there. Tigers have made the finals. Everyone, turn off your TVs.
Oh, I can't wait to see the episode of Tiger Town when they're all so happy. I'll give them a standing ovation. It'll be fucking great.
Or not.
Ryan says, can someone please explain to the listeners why the Tigers are carrying a reserve-grade winger on the bench? Is it because Madge can no longer trust Noffa and have a replacement there for him in case he makes one of his terrible defensive decisions?
The term, Ryan, is utility. Is a utility. He can play fullback, centre, wing, at a pinch, lock forward. And he has a glorious mullet. Why wouldn't you have him there? Makes everything around him better.
Well, I mean, like, I understand why he's in the 21. I understand why he's in the 21, and you can have him being the ball boy running down the sideline with that glorious mullet.
Mm.
I get that. But actually having him in a position where he's potentially going to take the field and play rugby league, that's the part I struggle with.
He's never let anyone down in the game of rugby league, Zach Seaman.
What about his second game that he played?
Except for that.
Yeah.
He's played two games, except for 50% of his games.
Yeah, and
100% of the time. And the reason why
he only played two games in a row there at the start of the season was because his second game was so fucking diabolical that he was dropped, never to return.
Oh, you got to bring up old shit.
I'm just saying. If this podcast is about anything, it's about the facts, factual information about the sport of rugby league.
That's why I only deal in the facts.
Yep. And on that note, that is full time for episode 424. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. So head to thisweekinleague.com/links and you can get all the links that matter. If you'd like to support the show, consider becoming a patron on Patreon, patreon.com/twillnation, and drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend, get into Facebook group, all that good shit. And that is all I have for this week, fellas. Anything you'd like to add before we pull the pin on this one?
Oh, I'm just overjoyed. I'm overjoyed that the Tigers are going to make the finals, and it's guaranteed. We've just done it. The rugby league prophets. The rugby league prophets have spoken.
What could possibly go wrong? Well, nothing, because it's not even on paper, mate. It's on the new age, better than paper. The internet, mate. It's on the internet. It's got to be true.
It has to be true.
Stepdad read it on the internet. It's bound to be true.
Correct.
You know, Stepdad goes out on the internet and he finds stuff and he puts it in the chat.
Does.
And, you know, for you to watch. When's he ever steered you wrong?
Every
literally
single
never.
Time.
Oh, it's like the E-fucked of ladder predictors.
It's just only smells.
It's only smells. Oh, no. It's the Tigers finishing eighth.
Can you imagine?
It's a horrible smell.
Can you imagine Madge goes into the dressing room at halftime and he goes, "It's only smells. It's only smells."
And the smell is your fucking ability at this fucking game.
That's what you would say, like, you know, when they're on the end of like a 36-0 drubbing at halftime or something.
Against the Bulldogs in the last round.
Oh, can you fucking imagine? Well, no, but it doesn't matter because you're in there by two games, Jay said. So don't even worry about the Bulldogs game. It's a free hit. Just a good solid workout before the finals, mate.
Exactly.
You know, that's it. Talk to you boys on Sunday.
Later. See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.